I'm thankful for Brother Josh, and he is always willing and always ready to preach, or at least he seems to always be ready to preach. We'll find out here in a minute. But thankful for all of his work that he does, and I'm telling you what, Brother Josh is just a rare breed. He's kind of like the Energizer Bunny. He just don't give out. He just keeps bouncing around all over the place. And it's hard. I was going to tell him something, and he was over on the other side yesterday. Went over to the other side, and he done gone to another place. I'm going like, man, either I'm getting old or he's just too energetic. I do believe the Lord's blessed him. We're thankful for that. I love him, love his beautiful family. So, Brother Josh, I ask you to come forward and you just come share with us what the Lord has laid upon your heart.
Thank you, Pastor. And my sentiments are the same for Pastor and his family. There is a sense of love and unity here at New Life Baptist Church. And you know, it's been said that the church takes on the personality of the pastor. So that's a reflection of our pastor and his wife. And he's not perfect. He fails at things, and we have to understand that. As much as he may seek to be perfect and lead the church perfectly, he's a man with like passions, just like we are, and has the same sinful nature that we do. And so therefore he will falter. He will do things maybe to irritate us. He may do things that even hurt us from time to time. But nonetheless, we are responsible to respond to him in a biblical fashion and to support him. It's one thing just to say, well, it's no big deal to him. But if we have a sour attitude, or if we're not supportive, then we have not done our duty as a Christian and as a church member. So we need to support the pastor because he has a lot on him. You know, a lot of times I learned that pastoring, that, you know, I watched my childhood pastor, and he seemed really never to have a lot of problems. And I started pastoring, and I realized it wasn't that he didn't have problems, but he had learned to cast them up on the Lord. He had learned to allow God to help him. And so sometimes they make it look easy, but it's not always easy. It may appear that way, but it's because of their relationship with the Lord and then just their character in themselves of carrying those things. So pray for the pastor. Acts 27. We're going to pick up where we left off, Lord willing, a couple weeks ago when we preached about the storms of life. Acts 27. And Wayne, I will say before we get started, you're correct in the way you word things. It is relative, I guess. I've heard several people say about the picnic that they enjoyed it, and one of the things I heard a couple people say is they enjoyed seeing the younger people kind of take charge and do a lot of that. And so that scares me a little bit to think that Brother Jeff and Roger and Victoria and myself are considered younger people. That means some of you guys may be Methuselah in here. No, so it's always good to. All right. Acts 27, we're going to do a little bit of review from a couple weeks ago because it has been a little time, but then some weren't here. But we will get into the latter part of that sermon, Lord willing. Acts 27, verse number 9. And it says, "And now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage, not only to the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix and there to winter, which is the haven which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Calatia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up and used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not loosed from Crete, and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that are sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast an anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity of sharing your word with your people here this evening. Thank you for those who are here. Thank you for my family, but not just my family on this earth, but my church family, those that have made it a point to come out this evening. Lord, it is our responsibility. It is our duty to be here, but we understand, though the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak oftentimes. And so I pray that you would encourage and strengthen each that are here this evening that have made it a priority to be in your house. Oh, that we would have a greater desire to be in your house, to come into your presence. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would meet here with us this evening, that you would take charge of the thoughts and the words, that they would be the words you would have to be spoken, not my desires, not my words, but what you would have to be spoken, that you would be pleased with what's said and done here this evening. Lord, we understand that if your Spirit takes charge, that if you speak, then we will be eager to be in your house. And so I pray, in spite of this preacher, in spite of the speaker, that you would be glorified and honored. And we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory for it. Be with those that aren't able to be here. I realize there's many that would give a great deal just to be here this evening. I think of Brother Maury. I think of Ron and Helen. And there's others that can't be here this evening. I pray for all of them. Pray for our president and the first lady, that you would strengthen their bodies and heal them. Those that are in Congress that have contracted the virus, that you would heal them, that your will would be done in their lives. And everyone in leadership, Lord, our country is at a dire strait. And Lord, we can look to the Republicans to fix things. We can look to the Democrats. But Lord, there's no hope in those things. The only hope that this nation has is in the person of Jesus Christ. So may we, as your people, look up to you and seek guidance from you and pray to you and seek healing for our land. Thank you for the land that we have. Thank you for the privilege we have to be here this evening. Help us not to waste your time, neither your people's time. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. You remember from the reading and from a couple weeks ago of the text here that Paul is a prisoner at this time, and he's on a ship headed toward Rome. But a storm is coming in, and Paul has some perception of what's going on, and he warns them and advises them not to sail, but nevertheless, says the owner and the centurion of the ship, they sought business, money, more than they did the man of God and the word of God, and they hearkened unto them, and it caused them a great deal of grief. They could have lost their lives. It was the grace of God that they were spared. And that is the same for you and I. Anytime we try to handle life and to go about life in and on our own, even for those of us that are Christians here this evening, outside of the Word of God, outside and seeking guidance from God and the Holy Spirit leading us in our lives, we're setting ourselves up for a great deal of heartache and hardships that aren't necessary if we would just follow the Lord. And so we see here that we went over the four basic kinds of storms, and you could add to the list, but we've mentioned those four basic types of storms. And number one was the storms that are just a part of nature, that the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. And so there are some storms that we go into, some troubles we go into just from being in this fallen world. Then there's other storms that come that we engineer by our own foolishness. And we talked about Jonah. Rather than listening and hearkening to God, wanting to do his own thing, and caused himself a great deal of hardship. And then we mentioned the storms that God allows to come into our lives for our development. And often he done this with the disciples. You remember they were there on the ship and to go to the other side and come across a storm for their development. And the Lord does that for us. And then we talked about the storms that we get dragged into because of the actions of others. And that's where Paul found himself. He was a prisoner. And he was taken into a storm, not due to his own choices. What was he a prisoner for? For preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not for breaking the law, biblically speaking. Not for doing anything ungodly, but for the exact opposite. And so, if you remember from a couple weeks ago, we talked about five things during a storm that we can do to sink our ship. And number one, and we've seen them from our text, it said when much time had passed, when much time was spent, we make our decisions in haste rather than leaning up on the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. Then we're setting ourselves up to sink our ships, if you will. And we remember we talked about if we depend upon worldly wisdom rather than the wisdom of God and godly leadership. They believed the centurion and the master of the ship rather than the man of God and caused this ship to be damaged, and if not for the Lord's mercy and the Lord's grace, the ship would have sunk. And you know what? Each and every one of us here tonight, and I say this with no condemnation, I don't know where you've been at in your life, but I think I can say with a great bit of assurance, and I can say for this preacher more than once, that if it hadn't been for the grace and mercy of God, I would have self-destructed. And you probably too would have self-destructed outside. So the very fact that you're here this evening and able to be here, it's by the mercy, the grace, and long-suffering of God Almighty that we're able to be here this evening. Because without that, every one of us deserved hell. Even after salvation, many of us have been what my mom and dad would call us knuckleheads, you know, a lot of times. We really have. We deserve to be just taken out. But God is merciful. God is gracious. God is long-suffering. And He was that with these people on the ship. God has a purpose, and that purpose will not be thwarted no matter what man may do. Paul was going to Rome to be before the Roman leadership there, and nothing was going to thwart that plan. And he had assurance of that. You see Paul's demeanor in this text. Why? Because he was trusting, what was it? An angel of the Lord? The Word of God. When storms come, trials come in our lives, we can lean on one another and may find some comfort from time to time. Sometimes that doesn't help. We can go to doctors. We can go to specialists. We can go everywhere. And sometimes we can find some aid, some help in those matters. But one place you can always go and find peace. Maybe not, things may not be fixed. but the place you can go and find answers and peace to the Word of God. And that's where Paul took assurance in. What he said, men, be of good cheer. Why? Not because, hey, I'm Paul and I'm going to Rome. He said, God has spoken to me through the angel of the Lord. God has spoken to us through these 66 books here tonight. And we can lay assured that the Word of God will stand forever. It doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can trust it. Just as much as you could trust it today it was penned, we can trust it in 2020. A lot of things have changed in that time, but God doesn't change, neither does His Word. And so we can trust that. But not only making our decisions in haste and dependent upon worldly wisdom, but if you try to take the easy way out, it said that the haven was not commodious to winter in. So they thought, hey, you know, this is not the best place to be, to stay. If we're going to be stuck somewhere, let's try to get over here, and it'll be a lot more convenient, a lot more comfortable place to stay. And you know what Satan will tell us many times, and even our own depraved nature, you know what we like? We're much like water. We like to take the path of least resistance. We like to take the easy way out. But sometimes that's not the best way. Sometimes we have to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, as the Scripture tells us. And so taking the easy way out many times is not the best way. It will sink your ship. And then you remember it said for the most part decided to move and do this. And so we said that the majority had voted to go on. Well, we showed you illustrations in Scripture when the majority were often wrong. Remember the 12 spies that went out? Two came back with the good report, said we can take the land, and 10 said no. The majority cried out that day there when they crucified our Lord, crucify Him. He said, who would you have me to release unto you? Who did they choose, Barabbas or Jesus Christ? They chose Barabbas. It wasn't the right choice. The majority had it wrong. So you can't always, you know, and that's something that we're probably more prone to in this country, living in a constitutional republic, but with a form of democracy that we're prone to, think, well, the majority spoke, so we have to do it this way or that way. The majority is not always right. We need to follow the Lord, follow the Word of God. And then lastly, depending upon the circumstances. If you depend upon the circumstances, you're headed for a great deal of hardship. You're going to cause yourself a lot of problems. Have you heard this said? I've heard it just this week by some well-meaning people, Christian people. And I may have even said it, I pray not, but have you heard someone say, well, I asked God not to let it happen if it wasn't His will. What we're really doing is dependent upon circumstances often when we say that very thing, you know. Although that should be our heart's desire that, you know, ultimately. But really, we should seek the will of God, not just depend on circumstances, because we can misread circumstances. Circumstances change. What happens when we, you know, preaching. You're praying about what to preach. And, I don't want to say, well, hey, if I come here and, you know, this person's here, then I need to preach this sermon. What happens if they're not here? You can't base your life on circumstances. It needs to be based on the solid facts of the Scripture and the leading of the Holy Spirit. So, in sinking their ship, we've seen the reasons for the storm. Let's look at some of the reactions to the storm. We're going to see the lost person or the foolish person or the world's reactions to the storm. And then we're going to see the saved's reaction to the storm here. We're going to see Paul's reaction. But number one, let's look at verse 14 of our text. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come of the boat, which when we had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest we should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and were driven. And being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us. This to say it was a big storm. It wasn't just a small little storm that's going to pass. We said all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. During the times of storm, you have broken dreams. Dreams dissolve. You know, and once you're in this state, a lot of times, sometimes all you can do is let things play out. They were at this point, they had made their choices to go, And now there was no going back because they couldn't control which way the ship could go. So even if they realized, hey, we've made a bad decision, we need to sail back, they couldn't control the ship. They couldn't take it where they wanted to go. They couldn't turn around and go back. And oftentimes, when we make the wrong decisions, when we make our decisions in haste, when we do them outside of seeking the Holy Spirit's guidance and outside of the Word of God, you know what happened? Dreams dissolve. How many young people have destroyed their lives or caused themselves a great deal of hardships, not necessarily maybe destroyed it. God is still long-suffering, but by the choices they make when they're younger. Now, God is still God. He's still gracious. He's still merciful. But much time is lost. I think of some people that have spent a lot of years in prison. What could they have done for themselves and for the glory of God? But see those dreams? Hey, when I grow up, I'm going to do this or do that. When we make choices outside of the confines of Scripture, rest assured that a lot of those dreams are going to be broken. Those things that you desire to do, even for those of us that are Christians, desiring to do good things for the Lord, the choices you make right now will affect the future. And maybe your ability to do those things. I think of David. Remember, what was David's desire? He had a dream, if you will, not a literal dream, but he had a desire, a dream to build the temple. But the Lord didn't allow him. Why? Because some of the actions of David, some of the things David had done. So, sin has consequences, even though it may be forgiven. But not only that, as we see in our text here, that labor increases because of sin. You know, Christians are to endure hardship, as we said earlier, but grueling toil and labor that comes with sin, working hard, trying to straighten out the ship. You know, these men didn't say, hey, let's go find that man that told us we shouldn't sail. Let's go find that man of God and see what, ask him to pray and seek God's behalf. What did they do? They started working, throwing stuff, tackle off the ship, started trying to lighten the ship. They tried to steer the ship in the way they would go. And you know, that's been man's way since the beginning, to try to create, he creates problems and then tries to solve them problems on his own. But God has lined out how we're to respond to problems. We're first and foremost to call out to Him and seek guidance from Him. I think of this morning's lesson, Pastor, there, Cain and Abel. See, it simply came down. I'm sure Cain probably brought the best of his offering, the best of what he had. But what was wrong with it? It wasn't how God had said it to be done. It was against the Word of God. It was against what God had said, and therefore it wasn't honored. He'd put a lot of labor into that. And these men here spent a lot of effort into it. But the Scripture tells us to take His yoke. Why? He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 13:15 that the way of the transgressor is hard. So the Christian life, you know, sometimes we think of it as a hard life. It's not a hard life. It's a disciplined life. It takes discipline. But if there's a lot of work in it, and what I mean by work, if it's just an effort to do, to come to church, if it's an effort to pray, if it's an effort to read your Bible rather than a delight or a privilege, something's wrong with you and me, you and I. You know why? Because when we are in love with the Lord, when we're walking hand in hand with Him, you know what we desire? To get to know Him more, to be closer to Him, and to learn more about Him. We want to be around God's people. We want to be in His Word. We want to be communicating with Him. And if it becomes work to do those things, it's because there's sin in some form in our lives. So labor increases. But not only does labor increase and dreams dissolve, but resources are wasted. Look in verses 18 through 21. We'll read 21. We've read 18 and, through 20. But it says, but after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. He said, should have listened. I told you. And you wouldn't have gained this loss. You know what we do when we live our lives outside of the confines of Scripture and outside of the commands of God? You work hard just to waste it. Just for nothing. Wood, hay, and stubble, many of our works as Christians will be one day, and we'll find out, because it wasn't done the right way or with the right motives. resources are wasted. They gained this loss. They worked and they wasted. The scripture says, what shall it profit a man to what? Gain the whole world but lose his own soul. You realize how many people in America today spend their whole life working to gain enough money so they can retire and live it up, their glory years up. And in the latter part of their life, what do they? Many of them do? Spend a lot of that money just trying to be healthy enough to continue living. And they're not happy on either side of it. Why? Because happiness can only be found in the person of Jesus Christ and in service to Him. When it's about us or anything else, you can rest assured you will not be happy or content. Because the only thing that can fill the void in your heart and my heart that is missing, whether we realize it or not, is the person of Jesus Christ. And that goes for the lost and the saved alike. You know, if we get away from the Lord, the only thing that's going to fix that is the Lord. For the lost, the only thing that is truly going to fix that void is Jesus Christ. They may get money, but they'll find that that money is empty, vain. They may try to resort to drugs, alcohol, all these other things, but those things are empty in and of themselves. And so sin will cost us everything. Here they are dumping stuff off in the ocean. Things that seemed so important earlier. Remember, hey, let's go ahead and get over here. Let's go. Let's make this money, if you will. It was, you know, it says the owner of the ship. It was a business. And the things that seem so important, all of a sudden, you find them throwing them off board. They didn't matter. You know how many people, and even Christians, and I don't say this condemning when I say this, but you know how many people would set tonight and give every dime they've earned to have their children off of drugs? To have their children sitting in church? To have a relationship with them? That emotional bond, that relationship restored? You know, as you get older, not that I'm there yet. Remember, I'm still young. But you start to learn what's important. And you realize the things of this world, although we need them to survive in certain areas, they're not what matters. What matters is knowing Jesus Christ, knowing God, and the souls of men, women, and boys and girls. Because those are the things that are going to endure forever. Is the Lord God Almighty and the souls of every one of us. And these material things really don't mean a whole lot. You find these men here, all that was so important, and they're just throwing it into the ocean. Not even really thinking about it. All they're thinking about is saving their life at that point. And you know what? There's, sadly, there's many that spend their whole life trying to gain the material things of this world. And when life comes to an end, they stand there before a righteous and holy God. And He says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And you know, they would trade everything they had for a single drop of water like that rich man in hell lifted up his eyes. So keep your priorities straight. Keep the important things the important things. That resources are wasted. Much work comes by it. And then fourthly, hope vanishes. Look in verse 29. Then fearing lest we should fall upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. They had went through numerous days, 14 or 15 days, of darkness. The storm had been so great that there was no light in it. And they just wished for the light. They wished for the day. They had lost all sense of direction. Remember back when this was written, and when this took place, it wasn't 2020 when we all have a cell phone and we pull it out and put it in our GPS of how to get here. They depended upon the moon, the sun, and the stars for navigation, these mariners especially. And now, the storms came, the darknesses came, they didn't see the star, they didn't see the sun, they didn't see the moon for days, and they didn't have a clue where to go. These men that all in the beginning started off, hey, let's go over here and let's do this, do that, all of a sudden are throwing things overboard that were important earlier, and now they have no sense of direction. They're out in the middle of the ocean, not knowing where they're going. You know what? That's what sin will do for you and I. you will cause you and I to lose our sense of direction. You won't know what is up from down when you get into sin. And that goes for every one of us, no matter how great or how small, how weak. Sin promises everything in the beginning, but in the end, what is it? He came to seek, to kill, and destroy. And that's what it will do for you and I, every one of us. They just wished for the day. But here they are with no sense of direction, not knowing where they're going. And because of the choices they had made earlier, rather than, could have been fixed by one simple act, listening to the man of God, which, but why? Because the Lord was speaking through him. And I'm not trying to put preeminence on the pastor or myself at this point. Really, we're no more than you are, just vessels used in His hand. But what is important is what is said from this book, whether it comes from this pulpit or from the man or woman of God. If they tell you what God has said and turn you to Scripture, then we need to listen, regardless of who it comes from. You know, I think of this and how silly it was. Here are these expert mariners, and now they're out in the middle of the ocean, not knowing where they're going. And I think of one particular instance in the military. We were in the desert, and we'd been driving for hours and hours. And I thought, man, where is this place at we're going to? And I hear the lieutenant come across the radio, and the lieutenant is in the lead vehicle. He's in the front vehicle. And he comes across the radio, and he said, hey, is there another element out here? Is there another group of soldiers out here? And I said, sir, there's not supposed to be. We're supposed to be going to where someone's at. I said, why? And he said, because there's a whole other convoy in front of us. He said, I'm seeing bumpers of vehicles. And I said, well, can you read a bumper number? And he said, no. I said, well, get closer and let's find out. And we'll radio it up and see who's here. Make sure they're supposed to be here and make sure we're not in harm's way. And he did. And you know what he did? When he come back across the radio, he read the bumper number without thinking. And you know what it was? It was the last vehicle in our convoy. So the guy that was supposed to be leading us was now following the last vehicle in our convoy. And we laugh about it. It is funny. But you know what? That's what our life is. That's how foolish we look when we don't follow the Lord and His commands. We don't know where we're going. But God has not left us to be like that. He's given us this to be what? A lamp unto our feet and a what? A light unto our path. God has given us a roadmap. He's given us the Holy Spirit to be able to understand the roadmap, to discern it. All we have to do is follow it. That's the hard part for us many times. Why? Because a lot of times we would never say it, but we think we know better than God, you know? Hey, I don't, you know, and I'm guilty of that. I'll put something into the GPS. I know where I'm going, and turn that thing off because I don't want to listen to it. And after missing a couple exits or driving around for a minute, maybe it's a good idea to put it back in there. And how often we do that with our spiritual life a lot of times. We need to follow the Lord and His commands, or else we will lose all sense of direction. And not only that, but foolishness abounds. They got foolish, and they started, rather than at this point, say, wait a minute, this guy, man, knew what he was talking about. He told us this was going to happen. Let's go back. Where's that prisoner at? That's not what they said, was it? Look what they result to in verse 30 and 31. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, here they were going to use deception. They said, hey, this ship's going down. If we go over here and act like we're putting out some anchors, but let this little lifeboat down, we'll get on this lifeboat and maybe we can survive, but we're not going down with the ship. Trying to use deception to get out of it. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. He said, hey, if these boys get off the ship, we all die. And here they were, trying to make their own way out of a storm that they had taken themselves into by their own choices, and now they were trying to get out of it through deception, which is just a form of escapism. And we look at them and laugh or criticize them, and you know what? So often we do the same thing. We get into problems, into trials, into difficulties, whether we're taken into it by somebody else, whether it's for our development or whether it's by our own foolishness or whether it's just a part of nature. And regardless of how we get into the storm, if we try to make our way out of it on our own, that's just a form of escapism and a deception that will not be accepted from the Lord. And, you know, it's built on selfishness. Think of how many people to deal with the problems of life. Sometimes life gets tough, doesn't it? It really does. But what do they turn to? Alcohol. Drugs. Suicide. All those things are a way to escape reality in avoiding the problem. And they don't solve the problem. You know, people try to drown their problems. Someone has once said, and I thought it was a good quote. He said, you know, problems swim, people sink. So you can't drown your problems with alcohol or through those things. I'm going to tell on myself here. My mom's here this evening. I don't even know if she knows this. But as a teenage boy, you know, I'd come to a point that I had achieved knowing more than my parents. And me being wiser than they were, I didn't need them. And something happened. I don't even remember what it was. They made me mad. We lived just down from the railroad tracks. And my dad had told us we would go hunting up and down the railroad tracks, take our little guns. He would let us do that. My mom would let us. But he had told us not to go this one direction over to where TJ lives now. There's a train trestle there over the water that's several hundred feet up in the air. They said, do not go near that trestle. But I had gained all this wisdom and said, you know what, I don't need them, I'm out of here, I'm leaving. I packed my little backpack and I'm leaving home. I'm going to escape all these problems and all that. So I didn't really know where I was going, right out here in the ocean going in circles, you know. So I go down the railroad tracks, get about 4 miles from home and I come to that trestle. But at this point, you know, I'm not going back home, so I can disobey my dad. I get about halfway across that trestle and what do you think I hear? A train. So then I start to hustle. There's not about as wide as this pulpit is the walk area on this little old trestle and just a couple cables, metal cables. Well, I realize I get several feet from the end. I'm not going to get off there before the train gets there. And you know what? This tough teenage boy that knows everything, that didn't need his parents, was sitting there holding on to a cable crying, saying, God, if you will allow me to survive, I'll go back home. Trying to escape. Really wasn't even a problem. I can't even remember what it was that they had frustrated me over. And yet, you know, God was still merciful and good to me. But really, that's how foolish it is to you know, parents are an instrument of the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. So when we say obey the Lord, obey His word for children, that's obeying your parents. As long as it's not contrary to Scripture. And so, these ways of escapism and deception are never pleasing to the Lord and never really will fix the problem. But I'll close this out. But Paul, we see now, we've seen the world's reaction. We've seen these men's reaction here to the storms. They've tried deception. They've tried all these other foolish things. They have tried they've tried to lighten the load. They've tried with just a little more effort and work. But look at Paul here. And he said, in verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Can you imagine standing there, being out on the ocean, in the dark, for 14, 15 nights, no light, not knowing where you're going, the ships, the men throwing stuff overboard, all hope had vanished, they thought they were going to die, and some Christian guy stands up there and says, be of good cheer, boy, don't worry about it, it's going to be all right. How foolish and how much maybe resentment and anger they had toward him. And so often that's the way the world looks at us. But you know what they find out? When we stand strong in our faith and we walk with the Lord and God delivers us, some people are watching and they say, hey, I don't necessarily agree with that person, but there's something to that because they see what God has done. And that's what happens here. He says, be of good cheer. Why? What was the difference in Paul and these other men? The next statement there in verse 25, for I believe God. These men said they believed the centurion and the master of the ship. But Paul believed and trusted in God. You know, that's the difference in the world and in the Christian. We may go through storms. We may go through hardships. We do. But our trust, as Pastor's been talking about faith, our faith is not just in some empty substance. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. Our faith in Him is what holds us. As we sang the song, He Will Hold Me Fast. How often has Christ held you and I fast throughout the storms of life? Paul knew that, hey, boys, here, this is nothing to him. Remember, he was in the jail singing praises in the midnight. Paul had been through trial after trial, and God had delivered him, and God had spared him, and God was with him. And Paul said, fear not, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as what? As He had told me. Paul could have peace, comfort, and assurance because God had spoken. And he knew God could not lie, and God would go through it with him. God had told him he was going to Rome. He said, howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Paul knew, we won't for the sake of time, but in Acts 28:14 and Acts 23:11, both instances, it talks about he was going to Rome. He knew he was going to Rome. Now, he didn't know how he was going to get there exactly, but he was going. And so you see the sovereignty of God and the human responsibility linked hand in hand here. They were responsible for their actions, but God was sovereign over all. Someone has said, where God doesn't rule, He overrules. You know, and that's what happened here. It wasn't necessarily the right thing. The man of God had told them, don't sail. But they did, but God overruled that and had His purpose accomplished anyways. And He does that in our lives. Think about it. If God didn't overrule in this instance, you wouldn't have Ephesians. You wouldn't have Philippians. You wouldn't have Colossians. You wouldn't have Acts. You wouldn't have the book of Luke. But because God is in control, we have His Word. Because God is in control, we can have peace in the midst of the storm. I don't know what you're going through. Some of you are going through trials that I could probably not bear, that I may never know. But there is one that has endured every trial and does know. He is accustomed to the filling of our infirmities, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. Cast yourself upon Him. Sometimes we make bad decisions. And sometimes God's people do. Sometimes churches do. But you know what? The Lord has said, I will build my church and what? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know what? As difficult of days we may have coming in this country, I'm not discouraged. Not because I don't think times may get tough. I really look for us to have difficult times no matter what happens in the political culture. But that's not where my hope is. It's not in President Trump getting reelected. It's not in the Democrats taking the office. That's not where my hope is. My hope is in the one that is in control of putting those people in there. Nations rise, nations fall, but God Almighty stands over all and has and will stand. That's where my peace comes from. I'm not shook over what's going on. Why? Because I know the one that's in control of it all. Paul, although they were in the midst of a terrible storm, possibly losing their life, Paul stood there with confidence. Why? Because he had a right relationship with the Lord. Folks, you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ. As I mentioned earlier, you'll stand before Him today, one day, and there will be a storm that you cannot bear, that you won't have the solution to. He will remind you of the very times that you sat and listened to the Word of God proclaimed, the Gospel presented, and yet you chose to do the things your way. And you'll be eternally separated from a holy God unless you put your faith and trust in Him. If you'll do that, you don't have to do anything else other than repent, have a change of mind, realize you've been trying to do this your way, and turn to Him and He'll save you. And then, doesn't mean all the storms of life will go away. You'll have a whole different set of storms, but you'll have somebody to go through them with you. And you can have peace in the midst of the storm. Think about it, and the last statement I'll make. I think of peace in the midst of the storm. You remember the story there of the disciples when they went and woke our Lord up and said, Master, carest not that we perish? What was their concern? These are the men of God. Carest not that we perish? None of them went to him and said, Lord, if you don't wake up, you don't do something, you're going to die. It wasn't a concern for their Lord or for others. It was, and we can become self-focused. That's destructive. And that's what sin will do. It will cause us to have an inward focus, but we're to have an outward focus, upward focus first, to look into the Lord, and an outward focus toward others. But look where the Lord was in the midst of the storm, laying fast asleep. Why? Because he wasn't rattled, because he is the God of those storms. He's the God of all gods. And that same very God that saved Paul and these people here on this ship and saved the Lord and the disciples on that ship is the God that we serve tonight. He's the God that's in control here this evening. And so we can rest assured that his plan will not be thwarted and that his plan is perfect and it is for his glory and our good as his children. Father in heaven, thank you for the peace that you give us, that you've promised never to leave us nor forsake us, that you will allow storms to come in our lives, and we will maybe even cause some storms to come into our lives, but you've promised that you will go through them with us. Oh, we thank you for that. May we look to you ever before getting into the storm, and when we are in the midst of these storms, may we look to you even more. Lord, help us as your people to not be satisfied with anything except for you. Give us direction. Give us guidance. And help us to live a life that was pleasing to you. Thank you for your people's time here this evening. Thank you for their attention. And I pray that you'd bless each and every one that's here tonight, and your will would be done with what's been said. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen.